100.3 WRNB Media Philadelphia. It's old school 100.3. Good morning. Court Radio is now in session. Call 215-263-1003. When you've got legal questions, we've got the answers. This is Court Radio. And now, here's your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning and welcome to Court Radio. I'm Dean Weitzman and this is Sunday, I believe July the 14th we are, David, and it's not too bad outside. We've had a lot of rain lately. Good morning and welcome to the show, David.
Good morning.
I should introduce you properly. My co-host, the one, the only, David M. Rappaport.
Hey, good morning. I can't hear myself. I don't know if that means I'm on.
Yeah, there's a missing component to the board right now.
Can the world hear me?
Yeah, they can hear you. We have temporary board personnel filling in. There's a colored run today.
And color run? You just heard that, yeah. And throwing paint all over people.
People are splashing paint on people as they run around Philadelphia. Apparently, traffic is backed up all over the place. You know, I guess we should just jump right into the most significant legal issue of today, and that is
unavoidable,
the acquittal of George Zimmerman. And I have to go throw myself on the sword, I guess, and say that last night I went on the air and predicted just moments before the verdict that he would have been found guilty.
On the air?
On the air.
How did you do that?
Well, I was called as the resident expert for 100.3 on another show. And was talking to Derek yesterday on the air.
So
and
much for the resident expert.
Yeah, so much. I called.
They won't
wrong.
Be calling you anymore.
Well, I don't know. I just found it so hard to believe. My prediction was not legal based. It was fact based, and that was that George Zimmerman was told to stand down by the 911 operator. He ignored that. He was carrying a gun he was not supposed to be carrying. When you added those facts up and you have Trayvon Martin, who's an innocent victim in my eyes, who's carrying a bag of candy and poses no real threat to anyone.
I have to take the other. Again, I'm not surprised. And from a legal standpoint, again, you and I discussed this, but I'll repeat myself so the listening audience can hear the brilliance of my argument here. But all of those things don't matter. You keep bringing up he had candy. And, you know, look, I'm not condoning George Zimmerman. He made a million bad decisions, okay? And there's a racism element that people keep on bringing up. Who knows? The bottom line is this. You take all those facts leading up to the event, which was some altercation physically. And when you get to that event and two people are fighting and their lives are literally at stake because George Zimmerman, like an idiot, has a gun. And again, okay, being an idiot is proven, I think, but he has a gun. There's testimony that Trayvon Martin reaches for the gun, and we'll never know if that's true or not. But if it is true, or if the jury believed that to be true, you have Zimmerman and both guys fearing for their lives, and they're defending themselves.
And obviously, that's what the jury bought, because not only did they not find him guilty of second-degree murder, but they didn't find him guilty of manslaughter either. And so they had to have bought the argument that that Trayvon Martin posed, in George Zimmerman's mind, a life-threatening force.
And
folks, if you're listening to David and I, just give us a call. If you've got a comment on the Trayvon Martin trial, you can reach us at 215-263-1003, where we'll talk to you about this case and what's going on and what your feelings are about this. Why do you think that George Zimmerman was found guilty? Because of the evidence or because some other, I guess, nefarious reason? If you're listening to David and I today, you can also give us a call for any legal reason at 215-263-1003. We'll give it our best shot to answer your legal questions. Go ahead, David.
I'm just going to say that, you know, I heard an interview with a criminal defense attorney from Philadelphia. I think he was a professor. I can't remember the name. But his comment was, if you're upset about the verdict, as a lot of people in Florida and around the nation are, then you should focus your efforts on trying to abolish these stand-your-ground laws, because that's really what muddied the waters, I think. It gave the jury the empowerment to say, you know, here, this the law is the law. I mean, let's face it, when the jury gets in there, they're instructed a million times, you know, you must abide by the law. And you might not agree with it, but you have to abide by it. And a lot of jurors take that seriously. So,
absolutely. And I think a lot of people in Philadelphia and the surrounding communities take it seriously, because we are pegged solid with callers, and we're going to get to them in one moment. I agree with you. Stand your ground law played a part in the acquittal of George Zimmerman. Jury was comprised of all women. I don't know. I guess both sides were hoping that that would make a difference. It, you know,
and we also forget the reasonable doubt issue. Like, we as outsiders look at it, and it's easy to say, oh my God, look at the evidence against him. Look at all, like you said, all these facts go against Zimmerman. It looks horrible. But the bottom line is, when you're in the jury, it's reasonable doubt. And the one I told you, Dean, the one fact that really goes through my mind is that there was the video, the audio recording of right before Trayvon was killed, of one of them saying, help me, you know, or screaming out. And both Trayvon's mother and Zimmerman's mother said that that was their son. Now, if you're a juror and you don't know which one it is, and both mothers are saying it's them, that's my son saying that. No, that's my son's voice. I know it's his. Is that reasonable doubt for that one fact? Absolutely. And if that's a key fact.
Was it a key fact?
Well, I don't know. For the jury, it might have been. Who knows? I'm just saying. If that's
right. Point you make is that who are we who are not there day by day,
correct,
moment by moment, listening to the evidence? Who are we to second guess the jury?
We don't know how the evidence was presented to them fully. You hear from the news, but you don't know.
All right. Well, let's talk to Lewis on line two for a Trayvon Martin comment. Hey, Lewis, welcome to Court Radio.
How you doing, man? Good morning to everybody on Court Radio.
Good morning, sir. What's your take on this?
My thought about that is, you know, people do have to understand, if that law is the law out there, then it's the law. We all should focus on trying to change that law, because it's only going to bring more pain, more stress to other people that lives out there.
Yep.
If something like that had happened in the city of Philadelphia, it would be World War II out there.
You're probably right.
Yeah,
World War II, but they found him not guilty because of the stipulations in that law and the stipulations in the case.
Right.
But it was still wrong for what he did. We all know it was wrong, but the law is the law, and I'm totally against that. This man walked away free, pointing a gun at this kid's heart and taking him away.
Yep. Yeah, the Stand Your Ground law is a law which makes it easier to kill people, and there's less of an ability to argue that one put themselves into that position, because it's like I'm the king of the castle, but the castle moves wherever my body goes. And that, to me, is just crazy. It's one thing, you know, when somebody penetrates your home in the middle of the night, nobody needs to ask a whole lot of questions when the perpetrator of that ends up dead. But when that castle moves around willy-nilly with you, and you're the only one who can really, you know, the jury has to kind of take what you say as the truth, to me, there's something very wrong with that.
It is. I fear for him, though. I wouldn't want to be in his shoes right now.
I don't think
a lot of people out there right now, and I'm going to say it, they're gunning for him.
Yeah, but even if that doesn't happen, if the ultimate, you know, somebody doesn't harm George Zimmerman, and I'm not professing that that should happen.
Yeah, me either.
But certainly that guy's life is going to never, ever be a quality life, in my opinion.
Yeah, I hate to equate it with the OJ trial, but it has a lot of similarities in that the overwhelming public opinion is that this guy's guilty, yet he's acquitted. So what's his life going to be like now that he's certainly not a free man as he, under the law, I guess, should be, but, you know.
There's an old saying, what goes around comes around.
All right,
have a good day, and thank you for taking my call.
All right, Lewis, be well. Okay. All right, let's move along. Let's talk to Terrence on line three. And Terrence, welcome to Court Radio. What is your take on the George Zimmerman acquittal?
My take on the acquittal thing is it's sad. Today, you know, we live in a different time than we did yesterday. And my opinion to that is, people, if our sun was to fall out of our sky, that leaves every living creature in the world in the dark at the same time. For one, when you were told not to pursue this gentleman by the police, that right then and there, you should just stop, let the police handle that. And had you not have followed this young man and provoked the whole entire fight, this young man be walking around today with a chance to graduate from high school or maybe a chance to go to college. Now, people make their decisions. The jury made their decision. Nobody actually really, really can tell what happened on that day but Trayvon and George Zimmerman. And when you're fighting a second-degree murder or even manslaughter, no man wants to go to jail. But at the end of the day, when you do something, and deep down in your soul and your mind and your heart, you should be able to hold yourself accountable for your wrong. A lot of us as human beings out here don't do that. And my point is, had you just listened to the police and said, do not pursue this young man and let the police do their job, this young man be walking around with a life today, and George Zimmerman probably wouldn't be in the situation that he in. My take on that is, people, we have to stop the hate. We have to stop covering up the hate. Because, again, like I said, at the end of the day, all of us will face the inevitable. Nobody should have to go through life trying to duck murder because we all going to face death.
There you go, and Terrence. I couldn't agree more. I wish there was a way to turn back the clock. There isn't. But
yeah.
Question is whether George Zimmerman got away with a crime, and a question is whether the prosecutor properly charged George Zimmerman from the beginning. They kind of went all out and charged him with second degree murder, which is the highest standard they would have to meet. And then, as the trial was going along and things weren't going their way, then they tried to put forth additional charges.
It shows weakness to a jury.
It does show weakness.
And they say, maybe there isn't evidence there.
Yeah. All right, Terrence, thanks for calling Court Radio, and thanks for your opinion on the Zimmerman acquittal.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
You too. There's so many people. We're going to take another call on George Zimmerman. Let's talk to Lisa from Northeast Philly on line 5. Hey, Lisa,
hello.
Welcome.
Hi, Dean. How you doing today?
I'm well, thanks. What's your take on this, Lisa?
Yeah, well, you know what? I believe I didn't watch all of it, but I watched enough of it to get enough information. I don't think the state put out enough witnesses and information on Trayvon Martin's, as far as on his behalf. And I really didn't see them present a lot of stuff for him. And I think that was their downfall on the reason why maybe Zimmerman only got, got off.
Yeah, you're trying to say that they didn't
do a good job.
Yeah, they didn't do a good job in prosecuting the case and of building up their victim, Trayvon Martin.
No, I didn't see them present any of Trayvon's
friends,
other family.
Yeah,
family, yeah. Members,
where was that?
You know, just to speak on his behalf, just to present the type of person he was.
Well, I think there was in defense, and I don't know this to be a fact, but my legal mind tells me that maybe they didn't bring up any of that because that would have opened the door for all that nonsense to be brought out by the defense about, you know, possible marijuana use, as if that mattered. Like the defense could have then attacked Trayvon's credibility, which really isn't even an issue here. And why make it an issue? So I think they made a calculated decision to not bring up his credibility or his character, and that way the defense can't bring it up. So, you know, that's my that's what I'm thinking. I don't know if that to be the case, but it sounds logical to me.
Yeah, I see. I don't think that David and I both are stepping into areas that beyond. But I don't think that the victim's
character
comes into play until you get to sentencing, because they don't want to inflame the jury.
It's very prejudicial.
Yeah, and it doesn't really go to the whether that day, that night, there was a crime committed. Trayvon could be the greatest kid in the world, and that doesn't mean that on that particular night he was not posing a threat to George Zimmerman's life.
Right.
And so I think that that type of testimony is relevant, but it only becomes relevant at sentencing.
Well, what's interesting about that is that the defendant's character does come into play, but you can make the same argument if you're a defense attorney.
Absolutely.
Just because he may be a vigilante type person that night, he might not have been. You know, who knows?
Yes, right. Character testimony in general is problematic.
You know, they felt as though when Zimmerman approached Trayvon, and being as though I believe the fight broke out between them two, for whatever reason, words could have been said and made one person angry against the other.
Right.
But I think Zimmerman got his butt kicked, and therefore, you know, he's the one that wanted to pull out his weapon to shoot.
Yeah, you're right. You're probably right.
Yeah, well, that's the way it looks to us as well. But anyway, Lisa, thanks for giving us a call, and have a great Sunday.
Thank you. You too.
Let's talk to Michelle from Pottstown. Good morning, Michelle, and welcome to Court Radio.
Hello.
Hi.
Do you hear us?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So what's your comment on the Trayvon Martin acquittal?
Me as a parent, because I have a 19-year-old son myself, I really didn't agree with the verdict last night. My heart goes out to Trayvon's family. My thing is, young boys do be out late at night. You know what I mean? And things do happen, but the way it went, it shouldn't have went that way. You know, Trayvon, unarmed. Okay, they say they have marijuana in their system. What young boy does not smoke nowadays in this country? You know,
that's irrelevant. Like, yeah, totally irrelevant.
They said Zimmerman, he called the cops. They told him to not follow him. Now, if someone's following you, your first reaction is to turn around and react too. But he has the gun. You know, this kid should be still walking around. If he had not followed this kid would be still walking around today. You know, I'm just not happy with the verdict at all. And like I say, I'm not racist. I live in a world of white and black. I love my peoples. You know what I mean? But I really, really think the verdict was not good. Honest to God.
Yeah, I think they're, like I said, I don't know that it's second degree murder now. And I guess the way the testimony came out, it seems like they did not prove a ill intent on the part of George Zimmerman, in the sense that they didn't have evidence that he was a racist. In fact, they brought up testimony that he had gone out of his way to help people of color in past experiences. And so I don't know that whole angle was ever fully and properly developed, if it could have been, by the prosecutor. But on the
even to say it was racist,
right?
He shouldn't even
that's
pulled out this gun.
Exactly.
He didn't have a gun. You know what I mean?
That's
could have been my son. You know?
Racism has nothing to do with it.
That's the point. Racism may have nothing to do with it, but clearly he was told to back down.
Yeah.
He failed. He was not supposed to have a weapon. He failed. And for those reasons, and he engaged Trayvon despite all of these warnings with a weapon.
It's this
for
law.
All of these reasons, it's well the
it's
law
this
is
horrible.
Well.
It's this horrible statement to society that it's the message is it's okay in this circumstance to do what happened, and it's not okay. It's because of this law, stand your ground, and laws like it that the jury was empowered to say, you know what, it's okay that this happened, but it's not okay.
You're right. It's the law.
We need to change.
But it's also George Zimmerman's behaviors on that night.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that the jury got it wrong, but there could have been, I believe, the proper charge for what he had done. Clearly, he was negligent, and they should have charged him with not only the most severe crime, but all crimes that he could have been convicted of. And I think the jury would have found him guilty of something, if not an intentional act, but at least a negligent act. All right, let's talk to Jacynthia on line 4, Kyle. Jacynthia? Hello? Jacynthia?
Yeah, Jacynthia.
Hi, we got you there, dear. All right, welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning. How are you guys doing this morning?
Okay.
Well, we're a little shocked. I am a little shocked. David, a little less shocked. But what's your take on the Zimmerman acquittal?
Wow. Like, wow. You know, my take on that is I think he was guilty. But, you know, they decided that he was not guilty. The minute that he tracked this boy down, that was a fault right there. you know, when he came in contact with Trayvon, you know, that right there was it just we don't know what happened at that point. You know,
if they had charged him with assault,
Trayvon
he would have
been trying to defend himself. You know, when Trayvon pulled, I mean, George Zimmerman pulled out his weapon, like you said, it was a negligence. It was a negligence. I think he should have gotten charged with something because this boy is dead.
Yeah.
You know, he's
that's,
dead.
Like, yeah.
See, but there's where the facts from the media muddy things, because you said George Zimmerman pulled out his gun. But do you know that for a fact? Because George Zimmerman's camp, and maybe they're lying, maybe they're not, but they say that Trayvon in the scuffle was trying to grab the gun, and that made him go for the gun to make sure that Trayvon didn't get the gun. So you're assuming facts that we really don't know happened.
But Jacynthia has one fact right, and that is we all believe that George Martin should go down George Zimmerman. Sorry,
right.
George.
George,
Martin.
Yes, sorry. Yeah. Hopefully.
I mean, Trayvon's not here to defend himself.
Right.
Correct.
Now, what
we're saying,
he initiated this.
I know. You're right.
That's correct, and that's the part I keep coming back to.
I know.
He has a gun he shouldn't have. He's initiating when they tell him to back down, and so we all feel like he should be guilty of something.
But he has a gun he shouldn't have. But he's legally has the gun.
Yes.
You say he shouldn't have it, but there's no law against having the gun.
But
so you're upset about that? Pass a law that says
you can't
have the gun.
Now, I'm not saying that there should be a law that says he shouldn't have the gun, but he's on town watch,
right.
And their rules are you don't carry a weapon. Okay,
their rules,
that's why he should not have had a gun that night. Not because it was illegal for him to have a gun, but because he was walking around the community as a town watch officer, and their rules were he is not to have a gun. We're all grappling with this idea that George Zimmerman should have been convicted of something.
Right.
And really the prosecutor probably did a poor job in charging George Zimmerman.
That is really the key here. I think you're absolutely right. We know that there's something wrong. The problem is, you know, they went for everything and they didn't get it.
Yeah, so they didn't. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back. David, our hot button topic today deals with apologies. You know, it's not a little quick on the draw there.
Quick there, yeah.
It's the tie-in with the Zimmerman case is that we're talking about today is doctors who possibly are the person who commits a mistake, okay,
to a patient,
or a patient who has a bad outcome,
right,
on a procedure and wants some answers. And the question is, should they expect that from their doctor? And can their doctor make those statements without it coming back to haunt them at a later trial? We'll be right back. Listen to these sponsors of Court Radio. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
If your child was injured at birth, if you were the victim of a medical mistake, or if you were hurt in a workplace or automobile accident, choosing the right legal representation is critical to getting the compensation you deserve. I'm Dean Weitzman from My Philly Lawyer. We've collected over $100 million for our clients, and we won't stop until your future is secure. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
If you've been injured, the road to recovery can seem long. At United Therapy Centers, we're here to help. Call us 877-510-7764. With leading-edge technology and our team approach, we provide the highest level of patient care with a pain management program developed just for you. If you've been injured, we can help. Call United Therapy Centers toll-free 877-510-7764. United Therapy Centers, get on the road to recovery.
Are you in a financial legal squeeze? Unable to work because of an accident with your legal case still not settled? Lawsuit Funding Solutions can help you pay the bills while you wait. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 877-697-7352. It can take time for a lawsuit to settle. Lawsuit Funding Solutions is here to help you get back on track. And you won't owe them a thing if your case doesn't settle or you don't receive a judgment. Get out of the squeeze today. Call 877-697-7352.
If you've you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman, on Old School 100.3.
Welcome back to Court Radio. I'm Dean Weitzman, joined in the studio with David Rappaport.
Hey,
we're talking George Zimmerman and the acquittal on the Trayvon Martin case. Folks have got a lot of opinions on this, and we're going to hit them hard. Let's talk to Barbara from South Philly. Good morning, Barbara. Oh, she's gone. Okay. Let's talk to James from West Philly. No. Sorry, folks. You know, we're trying to get to you as soon as possible.
Yeah.
Susan on line 5.
Good morning.
Good morning, Susan. See,
how are you?
We're well, thanks. What's your opinion on the acquittal?
My opinion, I do have somewhat of a prepared statement that would express my opinion, and I would like to present it to you, if I may.
How long is it?
A minute.
A minute. Okay. We'll hold you to that.
Go for it.
Yeah. It depends on how fast I'm speaking now. Come on now. I'm not the FedEx guy.
Well, you took the time to prepare a statement.
Okay, I'm gone.
Go ahead.
We can't stop now. We have to face the fact that racism is endemic in this country. How can Michael Vick get 2 years in prison for the death of dogs, even though he was not present, while an unarmed boy who was completely innocent not get justice for his murder? The legal system is racist, and we have to remove this cancer. How can Michael Vick get 2 years for the death of dogs, even though he was not present, while an unarmed boy who was completely innocent not get the justice for his murder? Mm-hmm. We will get along while there is unfair and unequal justice under the law. Until then, we are still in the struggle for civil rights. You just can't gloss over racism and think it's not going away. Racism is endemic, and it is a cancer that must be eradicated from our country. Racism is what built this country, but racism will not sustain this country, as the faces are increasingly becoming non-white. We need to address the inequities which continue to divide us and find a means to bring civil rights to everyone, not just a few. Thank you very much.
See, Susan, okay. You did get it in a minute, and you made us happy for that. I have to say, when I get to the meat of your statement, that I don't disagree with it. I think mm-hmm. that the system has a racist element to it. But unfortunately, that analysis doesn't work when we look at a particular case. I think systemically, look at the drug wars. Look at the folks on death row.
Yeah.
Look at the disproportionate amount of people of color in jail versus people not of color. I think you're right. The system is racist. I don't think we can say, though, that the outcome of the George Zimmerman acquittal was based on race.
No, I didn't say that. I said
yes, you can, and you did.
You said it, and you mean it, Susan.
The system was racist.
Yes,
but I did not say that the case was racist.
Right. Okay.
But I don't agree with using this case as a stepping stone to that argument. I think it's already been proven again and again. And it's unfair to label this case as just another example of a racism type thing.
Can we say, David, though, that possibly the Stand Your Ground law in Florida is got a racist element to it? It's the we against them, and you can defend yourself on the street.
I don't know if I'm prepared to make that stretch either.
Okay. Susan, thanks for calling Court Radio, dear.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
But I do agree that the system in, as a whole, and we've talked about this, the drugs and our jails prove it. So,
Line 3, Thomas from Upper Darby. Good morning and welcome to Court Radio. What's your take on the Zimmerman acquittal?
Hey, good morning. Again, my heart goes out to the Trayvon Martin family, and I just have to make two quick points.
Sure.
To this case. I think the jury system needs some type of needs to be looked at. Because, I mean, not posing this case as a racist case, but we look at the Jody Arias case and we look at this case. You know, two cases that we thought that, you know, how could an acquittal come out of both cases?
Right. See, but I could make an argument, and I do often, that this is because of the media. You are given facts that are very limited and very explosive.
Skewed.
And, well, they're just explosive. They're the ones that people want to hear, and it gives you an idea of what you think the case is about. But when you're on the jury, which is the best system that I know of for disposing of cases, you have people who are there, they're serious, they're listening to all of the evidence, a lot of which you don't know. And then they make their decision. So it's unfair, you know, to characterize it by what you hear.
Well, and the other thing, the reality is that on an individual basis, the jury system doesn't always work. It's imperfect.
That's correct.
I mean, I have won cases I thought I should have lost, and I have lost cases I thought I should have won. We have to look at it from a more global standpoint to see if it works, and if it's broken. And I think we all agree that in some respects, the system is broken. And it needs
a problem.
Yeah, there is, and it needs work. And I think it starts, oftentimes it starts with the legislature. And so, you know, if you have a stinky legislature who's enacting laws that skew the system, and they have high sentencing guidelines for drug crimes and things of that nature.
Well,
this is a
statement on what we often.
Then
talk
it's not
about.
The jury system that's
no,
bad.
It's the
politicians that are bad.
But it's us. It comes down to us. If you sit around and don't vote and you're not informed, and now you want to argue about the Trayvon Martin verdict, you're way behind the ball. You know, someone allowed those laws to be enacted. It's the legislature and it's the people in Florida.
Right.
Now, if you don't like that, you got to fight it. You can't just let it happen and then complain now, oh, the system's skewed, this and that. I mean, you know, we got to be proactive as people. It starts with voting.
Another point I wanted to make was the whole town watch situation.
Yeah, that should be abolished.
Guys carrying a gun.
Yep.
I'm thinking to myself, would George Zimmerman gotten out of the car if he had a gun? Would he have gotten out of the car if he didn't have a gun in hand? Access
right.
to a gun.
Yeah, well, it certainly probably emboldened him.
Around with some type of deterrent, far as town watch on his shirt, town watch somewhere,
and
let the people know why he was outside, what he was doing.
That's a good point.
To me, that's more a deterrent than carrying a gun.
That's a good point.
215-263-1003. We're talking about the George Zimmerman acquittal. If you want to talk to David and I about your legal questions, any legal questions, give us a call at 215-263-1003. We're going to segue, David, into our hot button topic right now. We're joined
second hot button, David.
Yeah, second. Sometimes it happens like that. The news breaks and, you know, things happen. All right. Well, anyway, we're joined by a physician who is with us today to talk about an apology rule. And we're joined by Asta Mehta. Hello, Dr. Mehta. How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
We're doing well, thanks. Welcome to Court Radio, and thanks for fighting the traffic to get in here today.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Yeah, I heard. We also have on the line Dr. Richard Schott. Dr. Schott, welcome to Court Radio.
Thank you, Dean.
How are you today?
I'm fine.
Good, good. I'm glad you got up early for us, and I thank you for that. Dr. Schott, you're the president of the Pennsylvania Medical Society. What is that?
Pennsylvania Medical Society is Pennsylvania's organization of physicians. We represent physicians from all specialties, and we're very actively engaged in patient advocacy and practice advocacy issues throughout the state.
Okay. And Dr. Mehta, what brings you here today? What's your involvement in this issue of the apology rule?
Well, you know, I'm a citizen of Pennsylvania, so first and foremost, it does affect me as a potential patient. Second, I am a physician, so obviously it'll affect me in my daily practice. I'm currently an OBGYN practicing at Drexel University, and in Pennsylvania and Philadelphia especially, liability is a big issue, as I'm sure you've talked about on the show many times.
Absolutely.
Yes,
and so let's lay out the apology rule for our listeners. It is a rule that's a piece of legislation that's being talked about in the Pennsylvania House and Senate. And the legislation would permit physicians to approach the patient or family of a patient who's passed away to express their condolences about a bad outcome, and perhaps to talk about why the outcome occurred, with the freedom to know that that conversation won't be used subsequently in a malpractice case against them. Is that did I summarize that fairly, Dr. Schott, Dr. Mehta?
Yeah, you did a very good job with that. That's precisely it. As we all recognize, medicine is not an exact science, and life is fragile. And unfortunately, outcomes are certainly not guaranteed, and they're not always certain. The issue arises, and stepping out of the realm of medicine, I'm sure all of us have heard advice from, if not from lawyers, at least from they say, if you're involved in an automobile accident, don't say anything. And unfortunately, I think that pervades the medical community, and certainly physicians have been advised by attorneys, don't say anything that can be, self-incriminating, or don't talk until you've talked to us. Well, the reality is, if you have a less than perfect outcome, a bad outcome, or even in situations where there may be negligence, to hide from that issue is not the right response. I personally feel physicians have a moral and ethical obligation to communicate with their patients and or families, including in cases where there may be a bad outcome. So what's it about? It's about encouraging transparency and openness after a poor outcome, and giving the physician, and it's not just physicians, nurses, hospital administrative people, the ability to speak openly about the outcome without fear that a benevolent gesture expressing condolences, expressions of empathy, don't in and of themselves come back to whack you as being equated with an admission of guilt or negligence.
Right. But there are, you would agree that there's cases, okay, and this is kind of a softball for both of you. There are cases where, in fact, there is negligence. I mean, where clearly the physician realizes maybe it's that physician's doing, or maybe the physician recognizes that others on the team did something that they didn't or should not have done that resulted in a bad outcome, that there was negligence, there was this causation element that brought about a bad result. You'll both agree that there are times that happens.
I mean, I completely agree. There are certainly medical malpractice that occurs. And this bill isn't really targeting medical malpractice. It's not saying that after an apology, the patient isn't allowed to sue the physician. So I just want to be clear about that. So it has nothing to do with the forthcoming lawsuit that may occur.
I want to clarify something, though, because Dr. Schott said, I think there's a clear difference between just giving condolences to a family and what we're calling the apology.
Well,
are we actually saying an apology?
So this Senate bill currently has actually passed the Senate, and it's in the House right now. It basically states that a benevolent gesture is okay. So if I said as a physician, hey, I'm really sorry that this adverse outcome occurred. I'm really sorry this occurred. if the physician admits guilt, says, hey, I messed up, I shouldn't have done this, this is my bad,
right,
then that can be admissible in court. So that's this specific bill in Pennsylvania.
Interesting.
So in other states, about actually 8 other states, that apology is not admissible. But in like the other 28 states, it is admissible. So that's what the specific bill in Pennsylvania is.
So this
about.
Bill is just focused on the, you know, I'm really sorry that this happened.
Right.
Not saying whether I did anything about it or
right.
not.
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
If there is an admission of negligence,
then that can be admissible.
That can be admissible.
Yes.
If the doctor says, Dr. Schott, you'd agree with me. If the doctor says, hey, I'm really sorry, you know, I've been trying to deal with this problem of addiction, and last night I started to drink and I couldn't stop, and I think it really affected my hands this morning when I was operating on you.
I've heard that proposed, and indeed the Trial Lawyers Association promoted that concept in dealing with the legislators during the discussion of this. That would come out.
Right.
And Dean, in reality, both the medical community and, as you certainly are aware, the legal community has ways of dealing with those kind of obvious cases. I get reports on a monthly basis of the actions of our medical board, and I mean a case such as that, the medical board would strip that person of his license, as a lawyer would be stripped of his disbarred for things that are not civil offenses, but any criminal offenses automatically takes away a physician's license. As you know, happens with being disbarred from practice if you commit some crime.
Yeah,
that's the extreme and has nothing, or really absolutely nothing to do with the meat or the intent of this bill.
I'd have to say, with the distinction that about this that you made with the apology, I don't know how any rational person would not be in favor of this.
It passed flying through the
Yeah, head, I mean, so. I can't, knowing, tell me a rational argument against it. There isn't one. I really
actually, Dean, we would compliment Senator Vance. Pat Vance promoted this bill in the Senate, and quite honestly, it's been a tough road. The House has twice sent forward legislation on benevolent gesture bill.
Well, clearly the hope
Senate, and what happens is it's allowed to die in the Judiciary Committee of the Senate. So
right.
This one, we thank Pat Vance, and certainly we appreciate and understand that anyone has a right to sue, and certainly patients who are victims of negligence should have their rights. The other aspect from the, and I know you're basically a legal driven kind of broadcasting situation here. I think for lawyers spend a lot of time and a lot of effort in hearing about, listening to plaintiffs or potential plaintiffs, working on cases. I have one example, if you allow me a minute to tell you about it. I was called many years ago as a character witness for one of our surgical groups at a local hospital. And I was not involved in the case, but I agreed that this was absolutely the premier surgical group at this hospital. And I agreed to testify as a character witness for them. So going into the case, I figured I better know what the case is about, and I spent a lot of time dealing with it. I'm sitting there on the witness stand, and I look out, and in the front row, I see a very familiar face. It was one of our unit clerks from the hospital that I work with on a daily basis. I did not know this was her mother that was that had this unfortunate outcome. And after doing my duty on the witness stand, and within a couple of days afterwards, she approached me in the hospital and she said, "You seem to understand what this case is about." I said, "Yeah." I said, "I think I do." She says, "Would you mind sometime taking 5 minutes and explain to me, you know, what happened to my mother?" And so I did. I took her side right then, and I said, "Yeah, let's do this right now." And at the close of that, and honestly, before the determination of the case, it wasn't they had already lost the case. She said to me, you know, if somebody had done this at the time of the incident, there would be no lawsuit.
Yeah, I think
you know, and it was a defense verdict.
As well as most are on, you know, yeah. I mean, as most of these cases go, they go by the way of defense verdicts. It's very few cases; it's the exception, not the rule, that are in favor of plaintiff. But what I wanted to say was that there are cases where all it requires is an explanation to the patient. And a kind word as you know, indicating that there was a bad outcome. You're right. You're going to hear it from me.
Yeah, human. We're human.
That there are bad outcomes that are not the result of negligence. And so this will get rid of, hopefully, a lot of calls that I get on a regular basis. But I just don't believe that it's the rule that attorneys bring cases that don't have merit. I don't know. I've always said this. I believe this. It's very expensive for me to bring a medical malpractice claim. I want to bring ones that I believe are winners. I want to know the weaknesses of my case. I want to know if I don't have causation, for instance, and I can't connect the negligence to the ultimate harm. And we do away with those cases regularly. Every day, every single day, I get calls about malpractice that I explain to people why they don't have a case. And maybe I'd get less of those calls if the doctors had an opportunity to speak to the clients before me. My only fear about this, my only fear is that a silver-tongued doctor, okay, will be able to apologize and convince a patient that they are genuinely sorry, and the patient will forego a legitimate case. Okay, not an illegitimate case, not a case that's there's no merit for, but that they'll forego a legitimate case. And I believe, okay, that we are the gatekeepers of the cash for people's harms. And what I mean by that is, if a harm is brought about by negligence, I think that the negligent, the wrongdoer, so to speak, should be the person who pays for that negligence, not me on the Medicare system, not me on the welfare system. Because if you've got a patient who's harmed and they're going to require care the rest of their life, I want to make sure that it's the insurance companies for the hospital and doctors who are responsible to care for that patient, and that patient does pursue, that every legitimate case is pursued. That's all I want. I don't want any cases that are not legitimate to be pursued, only legitimate cases. Go ahead.
I mean, that sounds like an ideal world.
Yeah. Well, I'm an idealist.
And unfortunately, we don't live in an idealistic society, right? So, and unfortunately, in medicine, it's very gray a lot of the time. It's hard to pinpoint exactly who's the cause of that adverse event, right? So, like we've said before, obvious adverse events are going to get pursued, regardless of whether the doctor is able to, you know, silver tongue his way out of it. Usually, it's not just Right. Usually it's not just the doctor and the patient, right? There's the patient's family, there's the patient's friends, there's lots of other factors that go into a patient deciding that, hey, I think that I have a valid claim and I want to sue, other than just if they talk to their doctor or not.
I wonder in the apology if a doctor would conclude by saying, look, I'm sorry. There was a bad outcome. I think that it was, you know, there was a problem with the care given. And if I were you or your family, I would consult with an attorney. I mean, you know, isn't that if you really have concluded, and I'm not saying in a lot of cases you can even do this, but I mean, in those cases where there's true negligence, to me, an apology, a true amend, is not only the I am sorry, but it's doing whatever you can to fix the problem.
Yeah.
And so the question is, would a doctor feel comfortable saying, look, this was a problem, and I'm going to be the first to admit it, and I think that it needs to be investigated, and I think that you should contact an attorney.
And the problem with that is again, we're going to go to the big evil empire of the insurance companies, because they will punish that doctor, raising rates and all that. So as Dr. Schott mentioned in his preamble, they're encouraged to be silent. You know?
I agree. Listen, this is a topic that is worthy of an entire show. We're going to invite both Dr. Mehta and Dr. Schott back for another shot at the apology rule. Let's see if it gets if it gets enacted. But we have callers wall to wall that need to talk to us. We're going to have to move on to those callers. Dr. Schott, thanks for being here. Dr. Mehta, thanks for being here. We're going to bring you guys back very soon. Okay.
Thank you
pleasure.
So much.
Thanks
we appreciate
for having
the opportunity
us.
All right.
To speak
thanks.
With you.
Take care, guys. All right, let's go. Let's talk to line one, Manuel from Winfield. Hey, Manuel, welcome to Court Radio.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. How are both of you?
We're doing well, thanks. What's your comment on the Zimmerman trial?
My concern about the Zimmerman verdict is the precedent that this now sets going forward. And I'm a little bit worried that the interpretation of the stand your ground law, because this was a self-defense case, is still a little hazy to folks. And I'm concerned that folks, well, we may see some more shootings with people claiming, hey, I've stood my ground, and I shot another innocent person. And I'm concerned about that. Our gun laws are too lax in this country. A lot of folks have guns, a lot of gun-loving folks, and folks who naturally feel threatened are now thinking, hey, I have the right to shoot someone now.
Absolutely.
Verdict, and not understanding exactly what this verdict was. And the other thing going forward is it tells me every single one of you who has ever thought about getting out of jury duty, from this point on, I want you to remember Trayvon Martin when you make that decision now.
Excellent point.
One of the reasons this young man got off, one of the reasons this was such a travesty, folks don't understand six women on the jury when we're taught all our lives are supposed to be 12. We don't understand the differences and the breakdown of the laws from state to state and situation to situation. And so it's confusing to folks. It's such a bad precedent. Folks, we need to register the vote. We need to be understanding of these laws. We need to serve on juries. And if you ask me, if you want to vent, I'd say right now I would boycott Florida. Florida has been in the center of so many wrong and bad decisions that have affected our country politically, socially. I mean, I go back as far as Rosewood, Florida, that incident, and now today. If you want to do something, folks, thank God nobody tore up the town. But if you want to do something, how about boycotting Florida, period?
And Texas.
You get no more of my money, Florida. I'm done with vacationing there. I'm done with your beaches. I'm done with Disney World. Sorry. But that's just the way I feel at the moment. You
I agree.
Listen, Manuel,
I hate
Manuel,
yeah.
I couldn't agree with you more. We've boycotted Texas. We'll be happy to add Florida to our list of states.
Thankfully, they're both on borders, so let them just fall from the, you know, cut them off. You can take a big chainsaw, cut it on that line that you see on the map, and let them float away.
Yeah, they're states that I wouldn't want to go to. Clearly, I wouldn't want to go to Texas. There's no part of Texas I'd want to be in.
Right.
Okay, the entire state, verboten. But Florida, I mean, well, I don't know if I want to give up Disney World. And then there's always Miami and South Beach. Those are cool places, but 98% of Florida is swampland, and you've got scary people there. I couldn't agree with you more, Manuel. Thanks for calling Court Radio, and have a great Sunday. We got Larry on line three. Good morning, Larry, and welcome to Court Radio.
Yes, good morning. How are you doing?
All right.
Good.
Well, Larry, you've got a very strong radio voice there. Yeah.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
I just would like to make a basic view of my feeling about the Trayvon Martin situation.
Okay.
And that is, what if the situation had changed where George Zimmerman came out and did what he did, and he had the gun. He approached Trayvon, and in the struggle, it turned out that Trayvon got the best of the control of the weapon, turning out that Trayvon had shot George Zimmerman. And the results of it, either George Zimmerman died or he was severely wounded. And the trial went to court then. Now, when you're saying stand your ground law, what happens if the jury had a scene that even though this was not Trayvon's gun, but he got the gun from George Zimmerman to defend his honor to walk freely away from all this and shot George Zimmerman? So what would the jury have seen or thought about that Trayvon was wrong standing his ground with someone else's gun?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's an interesting hypothetical.
Yeah.
And I've already made one prediction on this case that was wrong, and that was that Zimmerman would be found guilty. I suppose the answer that you're looking for, and the one that I kind of first one that comes to my mind is that Trayvon would be talking to us from behind bars today. I thank you for your call, and keep on listening to Court Radio. Let's get Jonathan on from Philly. Hey, Jonathan, welcome to Court Radio.
Yes, good morning. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Enjoy your show.
Thank you, sir.
I'd like to make two statements. I think it has, my mom used to say mother, with more to do with common sense.
Okay.
If I had a gun and I come along to an individual that was unarmed, I don't think I would need to holler for help. The person that's unarmed is the one in danger. So my take on it is that Mr. Zimmerman got his butt beat, and he killed a young black man. But for the state of Florida, let me say this. You were right. They need to go out and vote and change these laws. First of all, they stole an election. Now we're here at the thing. Now you get away with murder of a child. Like Don King says, only in America. Thank you very much.
All right. Yeah, you couldn't be more true. More true.
Only in America.
All right, let's talk to George from Philly. Yo, George, welcome to Court Radio.
Hello.
Hey. What's your comment
on
the Zimmerman acquittal?
I just want to make a brief statement and amen to you guys getting rid of Florida and Texas. Now, the biggest thing that happened in that trial is when the jury came back and asked for to get more specific
on the law
on manslaughter,
right?
And they came back and gave him another question. You know, they said, "Well, you got to be even more specific."
Right.
Now, even after reading, when I read it, I said, what is all this gobbledygook? And so, they probably looked at that and didn't understand it. And let's move on to the next one.
Yep.
Yeah.
You're right, absolutely right. That happens a lot.
And unfortunately,
the law.
What also happens a lot is we run out of time. So we're going to have to cut you off, and we're going to move along because my buddy E, Stephen Collins, and Philly Speaks is coming up next. Folks, you call us. You call E. Call him at 215-263-1003.
Yeah, he'll be talking about
it. He's going to be talking about George Martin from
Zimmerman.
George Zimmerman.
George Martin's going to sue you. George, I'll represent you, too.
Bring it on. Bring it on. E, Stephen Collins is going to be talking about the Zimmerman acquittal from a perspective of a non-lawyer, a ordinary Philadelphia African-American, hand-raised, angry person.
It's going to be skewed.
And he's coming up. He's here in the studio right after these breaks.
I'm Dean Weitzman from My Philly Lawyer. If you've been the victim of a medical mistake, getting proper care matters. Understanding your rights matters. And getting just compensation that provides for your future matters. That's why your attorney matters. If you're suffering because of a serious medical mistake, call My Philly Lawyer at 215-227-2727. Choosing the right legal representation is critical to getting the compensation you deserve. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
If you've been injured, the road to recovery can seem long. At United Therapy Centers, we're here to help. Call us 877-510-7764. With leading-edge technology and our team approach, we provide the highest level of patient care with a pain management program developed just for you. If you've been injured, we can help. Call United Therapy Centers toll-free 877-510-7764. United Therapy Centers, get on the road to recovery.
Are you in a financial legal squeeze? Unable to work because of an accident with your legal case still not settled? Lawsuit Funding Solutions can help you pay the bills while you wait. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 877-697-7352. It can take time for a lawsuit to settle. Lawsuit Funding Solutions is here to help you get back on track. And you won't owe them a thing if your case doesn't settle or you don't receive a judgment. Get out of the squeeze today. Call 877-697-7352.
If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215, presenting Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.